Thank you, Lord. How many are looking for that river this morning? I'm looking for that river, man. That's what I'm looking for. Praise God. Marlon, that was so right on. That's just a powerful tune. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just wanted to say that there is an opportunity for those of you that would like to take it. I'm going to begin September 5th, and then every other Friday night, September 5th, and I think the 19th. So it'll be two Friday nights a month, and we'll be meeting at Dan and Maureen Isaac's home in Twinsburg. Is that correct? I think it's Twinsburg. But anyway, we'll get you the directions for that. But I'm going to do leadership training. Now, let me just give you the qualifications for coming. And I want to open to everybody, but if you're not a tither, you can't come. So I don't teach on that level to people that are still, thank you, struggling with, you know, getting the elementary things together. And we want you to be a server in the kingdom of God. So you have to be engaged in the kingdom somewhere, in the ministry. You know, not just necessarily here, but you're serving in the kingdom. So if you've got those two criteria down, we'd love to invite you to come in. I'll be ministering on areas that I teach other pastors on. Like when I go to Africa and other places, I'll be ministering on those levels. So we'd love to have you come. And it's to whosoever would come. But you have to be a tither and a server somewhere in the kingdom of God. And you can just sign up at the table. And they probably don't have a list or anything. Just get a piece of paper, put your name on it, address. And then I'll be able to make sure that you qualify for that, okay? So that'll be coming up on the 5th and the 19th. And then we do it on the opposite Friday nights in Lorraine with the group out there. So this is going to be an awesome time. Amen. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also don't forget our Salt and Light groups begin again, right, in September. I don't know the dates yet, but you can begin picking that up. And we want you to get involved in a small Salt and Light group because it's important that we learn some basic theological truth, but also that we engage in one another and we minister to one another. And then out of those groups, it is the vision of this house that we begin to reach out to the community in various aspects of evangelism, whether it's servant evangelism, whether it's street evangelism. What we're doing in Lorraine, for example, is one of the councilmen of our city. We have a blessed there to have one of the councilmen, also a council at large that comes to our church. And the councilman came to me. He said, "Pastor, here's what I want us to do. Is it possible that we can just stand on a street corner with poster boards that says, 'Jesus loves you' on it? And will you receive him?" And we'll do it on every corner. And then we'll have about three or four people standing next to them with baggies with cookies in it shaped like hearts. And attached to that will be a track telling people how to be saved. And we'll just come up to the car as they stop at the stop sign and say, "Would you like some cookies?" Well, that's not really the reason why we're giving away the cookies. But we'll say, "Jesus loves you. We just wanted to bless you today and let you know that you can go to heaven." It's just a simple thing like that. Or whether it's getting your cell group, getting your Salt Light group, traveling to our love center, our food cupboard. Every Thursday, we pass out hundreds and hundreds of boxes of food to people. You say, "Well, you know, as a group, we're going to come out and do that." Or maybe you want to go into visitation into hospitals or into nursing homes. But see, this is important that we come together, not only to learn and to receive, but to give as well. Yes. As a ministry, okay? So that's what we're looking forward to, and you can get that all information out at the table. Hey, do you have a Bible this morning? Amen. Get it out. You got to get your word out, man. You can't come. I don't know how you got in here if you didn't have a Bible. I mean, you got to have a Bible. That's the way you get into this house. Praise God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. We got ourselves thrown into a little mini series. I didn't know I was going to do that. God just said, "Here, I want you to look at this scripture." And all of a sudden now, it keeps opening up and opening up. But it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." Say that scripture with me. Ready? Let's read it. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." You know, Paul was telling us something here. He said, "I want you to take a look at Isaac. And just as he was, we are children of promise." So I began to look at that, and I found something out that's very, very powerful in Genesis 26. I think we opened up talking about how Isaac sowed in the time of famine. Remember that? And the Bible says he reaped how much? 100-fold in the same year. I mean, that's pretty powerful. That's strong. So we know that Isaac, first of all, sowed in the time of famine. And we said, "But you know what? God has got us strategically placed here." And I just want to tell you, I am so thankful for meeting some of the pastors in this region. I'm starting to get to meet them, and they're getting to meet me. And I met with about 12 of them on one day this week, I can't remember, and we just prayed together. We prayed to believe that God was going to open up this region for the glory of God. You know, that's their heart. That's all of our hearts. And I think when we come together like that, when the elders of the city come together and pray, I think things are going to happen. Amen. And we said, we're here strategically. It doesn't matter if it's 3 of the top 10 dyingest cities in America is in Ohio. It doesn't really matter what the unemployment rate is. It doesn't matter how many companies are leaving. Listen, God is setting us up because we are like Isaac, children of the promise, and we can stay right where we are and so what? In a time of famine and do what? We can reap 100-fold in the same year. And then we found out that Isaac not only did that, but he had a principle that he had to follow. He had to understand that Abraham told Eliezer, his servant, I want you to go and find my son a wife. Go back to the homeland and find my son a wife. Don't take a woman from the Canaanites. But he said something that was really important there. He said, I tell Isaac not to go back. Tell Isaac to stay where he is. And that was a principle that we need to learn if we're going to operate as children of the promise, is not to go back. We can't once I put our hand to the plow, look back. We can't start looking back to what we left, thinking that that is more powerful or more beneficial to us than where God has us today. You are strategically placed. God's got the blessing upon your life. And we don't want to start longing for the leeks and the cucumbers of Egypt. Amen. We got to keep our focus on that. And we saw the other principle was that we are not to come into covenant relationships with unbelievers. And I gave 6 principles on what to look for in regards to covenantal relationships. And if those 6 aren't there, I'd be real hesitant to engage in any kind of relationship. I don't care if it's business relationship or friendship or courtship or marriage. I mean, these principles apply for every person who names the name of Jesus Christ. And so Isaac refused to operate on that level. But today, we want to take a look at a third principle that I believe is very vital for us to operate in as children of promise. Okay, so let's take a look at it. Open up your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And while you're turning there in verse 12 to 16, I just wanted to remind us that this is something that the God is calling us to as a church. We're going to have to somehow make provision for it. This week, or the last 2 weeks, God has been really stepping up in my spirit. We got to pray more intently for a building. God's got to give us an established building where we could be there 7 days a week. We can open up this place for prayer every day, where we can call on the name of the Lord and have ministry going forth 24/7. How many will put themselves in agreement with me that God will give us a building? Amen? But He'll give us a building debt-free. Amen. We're going to get it debt-free. We're going to get it from the hand of God and not from the hand of man. So we're going to believe that God's going to give us this building. But I keep sensing that because there's a need for us to come together and pray. Because that's what happened in Isaiah's life. Because when he was looking for Rebekah, he was in the field praying. The Bible says he was meditating. And that's the same Hebrew word that we find in Psalms 1, meditating day and night. It means to murmur. It means to ponder. It means to repeat over and over again. He was out in the field making his declarations when he didn't see anything happening. But he was in the place of prayer. I'm telling you, God is calling us to a higher place of prayer, of intimacy with God, to call those things that are not as though they were. And to come into agreement with brothers and sisters who are like precious faith, who refuse to believe a lie, and who refuse to believe the circumstances around us and say, no, our God is greater than that. Our God is able. I don't care if there's famine in the land. Isaac sowed in the same year and reaped 100-fold. Therefore, we can reap 100-fold. We got to have people that believe in prayer. So that's what Isaac was doing. And I believe that God wants us to posture ourselves in a greater stance of prayer. But you're over in Genesis 26, right? Okay, in verse 12, this is what the Bible tells us. It tells us that he began to prosper in that same year when he sowed. And he got 100-fold. He began to prosper and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. Watch this. For he had possessions of flocks, herds, great number of servants, and the Philistines began to envy him. But look at the next verse. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we are. Go away from us. You're much mightier than we are. You know, when you got up this morning and you assembled in this room this morning, all over Northeastern Ohio, all over the nations of the earth, when God's people came together in one mind and one accord and began to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you gave the devil a big headache. Because he knows that when we come together under the flow of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing he can do about it. Because greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. And the devil knows that. He exactly knows that truth. And he has to retaliate. And I want to talk about today the counterattacks of the devil when you begin to press into God. Let me help you identify the counterattacks that you can expect that will take place when you begin to press into God. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen and what's been happening since we came here almost 1 year ago. There's been a counterattack of the enemy. And he's going to do one thing. You see, he doesn't care if I get herds or you get herds or we get flocks or we get servants or we get all kinds of material things. He'll let you have that. He's going to concede that. But he knows that he's not going to try and steal your herds or steal your servants or all the prosperity that Isaac experienced. Notice what it said in Genesis 26. He was after the source of the life of all of Isaac's increase. The source of the life that's in the increase in your life. The source that brought salvation to you. The source that gives you eternal life. And I'm talking about the flow of the living water. It was the well that Abimelech was after. He knew that you could have all the herds you want, but if you can't water them, they'll die on the vine. And church, let me tell you, we can have church, we can have singing, we can have preaching, we can have all kinds of programs, we can have all kinds of outreach. But if we don't have a well of living water, the thing will die on the vine. You got to keep the flow going. We got to keep the flow open. And so that was the attack. That was the counterattack to the prosperity. And I've seen it time and time again. Many of you have seen it. I'm preaching to seasoned saints in this room, mature Christians. Many of you have been through the battle. You've been from church to church. You've gone through different experiences as Christians. And you've hung in there. You're still standing. Glory to God. But you've seen churches rise up. And you've seen the flow of the Holy Ghost come. You've seen the power of God begin to manifest. And suddenly what happens? Something occurs. The counterattack occurs. And before you know it, it's not the way it used to be. Before you know it, the flow begins to go down to a trickle. And before you know it, the river basin is dry again. And people are not being saved. People are not being set free. Because the enemy will cut off the source of our life, which is the flow of living water. Put your hand on your belly with me and say, Lord, thank you for the living water that flows out of my belly. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That flow is the source of our life. It's what we are experiencing today. That's what we must protect. Look at John chapter 7. And you know the scripture, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. John chapter 7 in verse 38. And Jesus was teaching. And he declared to those disciples and all that were listening. And I pray that God give us ears to hear today. He said this. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, not just of water. Listen, living water. He said living water. Because where the flow goes, it brings life. Where the flow goes, it brings life. See, I don't have to worry about praying the right prayer or doing the right program or ministering in the right organization or format. I don't have to worry about that. Neither do you. What you and I have to concentrate on is making sure that the living water is flowing through our life. What we ought to do as a church, what we ought to do, we ought to celebrate, glory to God, in September for 1 year to say this. Thank God the river's flowing. And thank God we give our life to keeping it flowing. Because if we don't give our life to the flow, then we'll get our eyes on what the flow produces. And while we're celebrating what it's produced, the enemy will come in behind us and plug up the well. Now notice what the Bible said. Abimelech came with his servants and they began to plug up the well. And they put earth. Everybody say earth. Say dirt. Say yuck yuck stuff. Yeah, put it in the well. That's exactly what the enemy will do. He will put carnal things, earthly thoughts, worldly thoughts. He'll begin to put concepts and ideas that come from the world and not from the throne of grace. Because it's easier and it's cheaper to get an idea from a magazine or a book or somebody else's sermon than it is to dig your own well. Come on, somebody. See, God's saying, listen, don't you allow somebody else to begin throwing stuff down into your well and block the flow. You and I have got to fight to keep the wells flowing. Amen? It is the call of God upon a generation who know where their source of life is. It's in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, this He spoke concerning the Holy Ghost, whom they believe in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit is not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, you and I have to hunger for this flow of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we see that they filled them with earth, these natural and carnal things. See, He understood that Isaiah 12:3 said, that out of the well of your salvation shall you drink. Out of the flow of the living water that's in you, it shall bring refreshing. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's why you and I have to abstain. That's why you and I have to begin to separate ourselves. It's not for legalism's sake. It's not because of religion. It's not trying to be good. It's not trying to be some kind of religious fanatic that we're saying, well, we can't do this and we can't engage in that. No, there's something bigger here. There's something higher in my life. You see, I got to understand that it's the flow of the Spirit. And I can't permit one little thing to be dropped in my well because there's too many people that are relying upon the flow out of my life to bring life into them. You see, Revelation 21 says that it's the flow of the living water that'll bring life to the nations. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than our church. This is bigger than this region. God's raising up a people who will operate in the flow so that we can water the nations with salvation. That's why I can't afford strife. I can't afford contention. You know, I've been in church way too long, man. I've seen some really goofy stuff. I've seen how people get upset, get uptight, and start, you know, little factions and little groups of resistance, and they don't like the color of the carpet. I mean, who gives two rips about the carpet? Okay, if you don't like the carpet, let's just rip it up and we'll walk on concrete for goodness sakes. Let's not make that an issue. Understand something, that where strife is every evil thing. And so that's the enemy's tactic. He said, I'll just plug up your well. But Isaac was too smart. Look at somebody and say, I'm too smart for that. Come on. You're too smart for that. Isaac was too smart for that. He began to dig his father's wells again. And that flow began to come again. And as soon as the Philistines saw it, they contended with it. As a matter of fact, they were striving over it. The herdsmen of the Philistines were striving with the herdsmen of Isaac. And you know what Isaac's position was? Fine, take it. So wait a minute, man. I dug that thing. Oh, that's my sweat and blood. No, that was my daddy's well. No, I'm not giving that up. No, he understood something. James 3:16 says, where there's envy and confusion, there is every evil thing. Let me tell you something. You and I do not want to operate in strife. When we begin to operate in strife with one another, it's like a dining invitation to every demon in hell to come and sit down at your banqueting table. I don't think you're hearing me this morning. We don't understand that we must avoid strife at all costs when we come to the house of God. If you can't come in agreement with me, it's better for you to out. If you can't come in agreement with your brother, it's better for you just to walk away and find another place to go to church. I'm telling you, it's better. You say, why is that better? Because as soon as you're in strife, you draw demon spirits into the midst. You know how many demons have been invited to churches? How many demons have been invited into ministry? Because we strive with one another. We have this experience called Essek. And Isaac said, I'm not going there. But let me tell you something, the heritage we have in this region. This region has some wells that have been dug by our fathers. We've got some father wells deep in this place. I just want you to know that from the West Campus, just 15 minutes south, was a well that went deep that touched the nations of the earth. That in modern Christendom, there are very few that could even come close to the outpouring of that well. And it's called Charles Finney. He was 15 minutes south of that campus on the West End. And that well today, if you were to spend time on Oberlin campus, you'll find that that Oberlin campus no longer even acknowledges God. But at one time, it was a place that raised up those preachers from a seminary that went around the world to preach. Charles Finney, when you came onto the campus, who was the president of that college, the anointing was so powerful, people would fall on their knees as they came into the presence of that great man of God and say, what must I do to be saved? He was the kind of man that would walk into a factory and immediately shut it down by the anointing upon his life. Yes. Hundreds of men would stop their machines and they would come to Christ only because he had walked into the room. That's the kind of well that you and I have at our disposal. It's only a few minutes from this place. It's our Father's well. And God's looking for a people who would be willing to dig it again. Are you willing to dig again the well of our Father's? I need that flow in my life. It ought not to be hard. It ought not to be begging. It ought not to be crying out and please manipulating people so that they would get saved in a church service. They ought not to have to wait to the altar call. There ought to be times in worship people fall on their face when they walk through the door and they shake an usher's hand and they go, "Oh God, I'm a sinner and I need Christ as my Savior." It was that kind of a well that is our covenant right. Let me tell you something about the Moravian missionaries. And I don't have time to go through all this, but they settled much of this region. And on the Black River in my city of Lorain, where I pastored nearly 30 years, and now 1 year here in Beechwood, I want you to know that they gave their very life. They were international. They were anointed. They were sent forth without fear. They had courage to preach the gospel, and they were martyred for their faith. Right there in the city, there's a memorial on the mouth of the Black River attributing to them their great ministry of reaching people for the gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, that's your well. You have an international well. It's a well of our Father's, and glory to God, I aim to dig it up again. I aim to go find it and bring it up and allow this well to be flowing into our life. There's not one nation that you cannot set your foot down on and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not one region in this world because you have a well of international ministry. You have a well of a Moravian that went throughout the world to preach the gospel. You have a well of Charles Finney who had such powerful anointing that it was one of the great awakenings in this nation. It is our heritage. It is our well. God, give us an Isaac that we might dig again the wells of our salvation. Thank you, Lord. As Isaac was, so are we, brethren, children of the promise. Amen. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. This morning when I got up, I was repenting of any negative word. I couldn't remember, but I said, "Lord, if I get a negative word, God, I repent of that negative word because my mouth is a well of life. And therefore, when I release out of my mouth is living water, and it waters things, it causes it to come to life. And so, Father, forgive me if I have spoken negative words, that I have caused things to die and to dry up. Lord, I want my mouth to be a well of life." See, that's why it's important to get your mind renewed by the Word of God and begin to be careful what you speak, because God has given you a living well inside of you, and it's released through what you say. So you want to bless your children. You want to bless your marriage. You want to begin to declare the glory of God, because that is how it's watered. That's okay. The Bible says this, that you and I have got to cease striving. We've got to cease striving. See, I can't come into a disagreement with my spouse. I got to realize, okay, I'm right, she's wrong, but that's okay, because it doesn't matter. I'm right, she's wrong. But I'm not going to make a point. You know you're wrong. And you know I'm right. But I'm not going to make a point. You know, that's not the way we do it. No. That's not the way we do it. You know, the way it is, it's like, this is your coat. Fine, take it. God bless you. Amen. I'm not going to strive with you, because you see, for me to come into strife in my marriage or strife in my home, to allow strife in my home, is to once again plug up the well. This is a much bigger picture. I've got to see this bigger than just my wife and I not getting along. No. This is bigger than that. This is an attack of the enemy to try to block up the flow. And if this flow doesn't keep going, then there is not going to be any life. And I want life. Amen. Jesus came to give us life. And how much? Abundant life. Hallelujah. So we got to watch what we say. We got to be careful that we don't strive with one another. Jesus said, if you drink of this water again, you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst in John chapter 4. But I love that in Revelation 21:6, he says, it is the water of life that brings salvation to the nations. And you and I have to understand that what we are saying and the flow of the Holy Ghost in this region, church, oh, I long for it. Don't you long for it? Don't you long for it? It's like a parched and weary land, just that cool, refreshing water. God, let the waters flow in this region again, God. Let it flow, Father, for I know when it flows, it's going to bring life to those that are dying and those that are thirsty, God. And it's going to bring salvation to the nations. I believe it's going to bring salvation to the nations. You know, we were so privileged. We were so privileged, John, you and I and Mark and the rest of the team, to get into Gulu, to come in there in that region after all that strife, after all that contention for 18 years, all that murder. And God opened the door for us to come and speak words of life. I mean, you think about it. God gave us an opportunity to speak words of life. I remember back in 1990 after communism fell, and Dr. Lester Sumrall, he gave me an encouragement, put his hand on my knee, and he said, "You go to Russia and you speak the word of the Lord." And I remember preaching to 5,000 people, gave an altar call, and every person came to receive Christ. After nearly 70 years of a godless nation, it opened up and the waters began to flow. But I'm nobody, I'm just a preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to have notoriety. You don't have to have anybody's endorsement. All you need is a flow. If you have water flowing out of your belly, God will see to it that you get to the parched regions of the world. And it was by no mistake that I was there after communists failed. God put me in the middle of that place. And God put me in Gulu, Uganda, to speak the word of the Lord to a war-torn region, that there is life again, and to speak to pastors and to drench them with the living water. Church, there is a living water inside of you. Open up your mouth. Let it out. Open up that water. Open up that valve. Let it out. But be careful. Do not let the enemy seduce you into strife in your life. That's the first counterattack. The second counterattack. Sitna. Contention. You say, well, that sounds like strife. Watch this. It's a little bit different. It actually means this in the Hebrew. It literally means to lie in wait as an adversary. This time, they were blocking up the well, the flow, by lying in wait as an adversary. You know the people that like to put reproach on other people? You know the people that like to point fingers and say, aha, I knew you wouldn't make it. Aha, I knew it was you. You did wrong. Yeah, yeah. You're the one that's responsible for this. You know, finger-pointing Christians? Do we understand the significance of finger-pointing? Be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because Isaiah 58, God said, when you stop the finger-pointing, I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon the earth. It stops the flow of the Spirit of God. I am not here to judge any man. I am here not to point a finger at any person. And Isaac understood this. When that well came to a point of sitna, of contention, of lying in wait as an adversary to pounce on his opponent, he said, you know what? I'm not having anything to do with this. I'm out of here. And he walked away from it. He walked away from it. I like this scripture in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 17 and 14, the Bible says this, that strife will drain the water out of your life. It will drain the water out of your life. Strife is like a hole in your cistern. It's like a hole in your pail. I don't care how many times you fill it up. By the time you get to the car, you could sit in church and get filled up to the brim, but by the time you get to the car, it is an empty pail. Because of strife, because of contention. And we come back again the next Sunday with an empty pail and we say, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, God. And God is faithful to fill us up. But by the time we get to the car, some of us don't even make it that far. We're out in the foyer and the water's already drained from our pails. There's nothing left and we're empty and we're dry because there's holes, there's cisterns with holes because of strife. And if it's not strife, it's contention. In too many of our lives, too many local churches, I say, God, in this region, there had to be some powerful ministries that have been raised up over the last 50 years. God, where are they? Where are the generations that followed them, Lord? Where are those men of God that passed the baton on, God? Is it like the U.S.? You know, that was an amazing thing. You know, I don't know if you watched Olympics and I didn't see it, but somebody told me about it. And, you know, they train every day of their life. They train every day of their life, year after year after year after year. And they're in the Olympics and they're in the relay race. The men's team and the women's team from the United States of America hear the word of the Lord. It was a word of the Lord to me. You know how many times they practice passing on the baton? It's not necessarily how fast you run the race. It's how accurate you pass on the baton. And not only the men's team, but the women's team dropped the baton. And the Holy Ghost hit me between the eyes. And he said it's one generation after another had have dropped the baton. I don't want to pass on anything to a generation of programming and ministry and church. You can train a monkey to do church. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about? You don't need a whole lot of Jesus to have church. There's a whole lot of people that go to church every Sunday and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, dancing, and don't have no Jesus. I don't want to pass on something that doesn't give life. I want to pass on the living water. I want to pass on the desire and the earnestness about digging a well. And someone said it so well the other day in our United Church conference. There's got to come a time in the church where we got to stop chasing the clouds. Stop chasing the clouds and start digging a well. Redig them again. Let the flow go. I'm longing for the day when Cleveland Hopkins Airport is filled with people from all over the world who are coming to get living water. I'm longing for the day when this region will be so packed with people every weekend, it'll be like a traffic jam. It'll literally shut down the city. Not because of Browns football game and they finally won the championship, or the Cavs because they finally won the championship. I'm talking about because living water is being dispersed from the local churches in this region, and the people that have been dry and thirsty from barren lands come from all over. Many years ago, we received a prophetic word, and it's your prophetic word. Tunde Bakari, a good friend of mine from Lagos, Nigeria, multi-thousand member church, came to preach in our ministry. And he stood at the end of the steps and he said, God just showed me a vision. He showed me a vision of a well. He said, this is a well. And I see blue buckets everywhere. I see the blue buckets and people are coming with them and they're being filled up. They're being dispersed from this well. And we didn't quite understand what God was saying at that time. It was many years ago. But I believe that prophetic word is coming to pass this morning. And as I sat there, and they were passing down the offering bucket, and I looked over and they were blue. And God said, my wife said, look, they're blue buckets. I said, oh, yeah, they're blue. That's the blue bucket thing. God, it's not about money. It's not about a church. It's about the living water that people can come and they can dip into. How many are thankful this morning that you've been able to dip into the living water with the blue bucket? How many are glad today that you're being filled up with the living water? Hallelujah. We can drink until our heart's content. Thank God for it. I am so thankful for leadership. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you for trusting me. Coming here a year ago, not even knowing who I was, not knowing anybody else. And look at within 11 months what God has done. And how we have staked a claim. And how we begin to dig a well. And how we begin to believe that God is going to do this. And only look what only God can do. I mean, what's going to happen in the next year? Where will we be? What will be happening? I'm telling you, you better get ready, because every person in this room will be used to disperse the living water to the nations. This isn't about us. God's getting us ready for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Isaac said, you know what? I'm not having any of this contention stuff. Fine, take it. And so he moved from there. And finally came to a place where he named the well Rehoboth. Rehoboth meant make room for us. Some of you have come from situations of strife, some with contention. Some of you nearly gave up on church. And God gave me a word. He said, tell them there's a Rehoboth for them. Amen. And sometimes strife and contention, while you go through it, is difficult. But it's all right, because it's in the plan of God. You know why? Because there's a Rehoboth. And unless you had that strife, and unless you had that contention, you would have never moved to the place that God had made room for you. So don't get angry at God because you're going through struggles or trials or difficult times in your life. Be like Joseph, who said, God, I know that this was meant for the prosperity and the posterity, oh God, of a nation that will follow. You might have meant it for evil, but God will turn it for good. That God's going to get me into the place where He wants me to be and needs me to be. I want to make a declaration over you this morning. You are in the place God needs you to be, and that He will cause a flow to come out of your lives. Hallelujah. There's a place where you can get your flow back. You can get your flow back. Listen, keep digging. Keep digging, man. You know, the only thing that's separating between you and the flow is dirt. I don't know if you ever try to plant a bush or anything. And he said, I'm going to put that bush right there. Boy, that's a perfect place for that bush. Honey, you like that place? Oh, that's perfect, sweetheart. Go ahead and dig that hole. Put that bush in there. So, you know, two shovels down, and I hit something, and it scrapes, and it's hard, and it's a rock. And I'm thinking, that bush doesn't look good there. Maybe we move it over 2 feet. So I let that rock go, cover back up the dirt, and I dig it down. hit another rock. It's the sister rock of the other rock. I'm thinking, God, why do I have another rock? She needs this bush right here. I already moved it over 2 feet. And he said, listen, you're going to let that rock, you're going to let that rock prevent you from digging? And I said, God, not on my watch. My wife will whoop me if I don't put that bush in that place. I got to do something with this bush, Lord. You ever start digging? All of a sudden there's a root system. All of a sudden there's a drain pipe. It's like, why is a drain pipe there? God, you knew I need to put this bush in here. Who put this rock here? I want to talk to God about this rock. God, you put this rock in the wrong place. He said, oh, no, I didn't. It's in the right place at the right time. The first thing you and I need in order to dig a well, I'm talking about if you really want to get the flow of the Holy Spirit moving in your life again, is perseverance. If you don't have perseverance, you might as well pack up bags and just go do something else because you're wasting your time on Sunday afternoon. I'm talking about perseverance because there's going to be rocks underneath the surface everywhere you dig. There'll be drain pipes, electric pipes, there'll be root systems. It's like, who put this stuff here? But you know what? I remember one time that we needed to plant a bush. All I needed was a 2 or 3 foot circumference of a hole. By the time I finished, it was 6 feet wide. But the more I dug, the more, you know what I'm talking about. The more determined I became. I had sledgehammers. I had crowbars. Tina said, forget the bush. This rock's coming out. I'm praying, oh, why? And I finally get that rock to move. And I build that thing back together, put that bush in, cover it up, and I look at that rock and I say, now what you gonna say? I walk away, but say, man, you are crazy. You talk to rocks. I do, man. I talk to rocks. I'm gonna get it in that hole. Because the only thing separating me from the flow is a little bit of dirt, B. That's all it is. And I don't care if I've got to go 100 feet or 200 feet or a mile. There is living water beneath the surface. And I will not be denied of the living water that I have to have in order to have life. And so if it takes every ounce of my strength and my energy, I will persevere until I strike living water. That's the first thing you're going to have to have. The second thing you're going to have if you're going to dig a well is piety. What do I mean by that? Just an acknowledgement of thanksgiving to God. I got to be thankful. My God's been good to me. Man, I got to tell you how good He's been to me. I don't deserve what I have. But God has given me so much to enjoy. With every shovel full, with every pick on the head of that rock, with every lifting of that crowbar, God, I thank you. You've given me the tools to move this thing. God, I thank you that you're with me right now. Father, give me the strength of Jacob to move that well, that stone on the well that normally took 10 men. When he saw Rachel, he moved it all by himself. Did you know that the Bible says that? How do you know you're in love, guys? Here it is. When it takes 10 men to do something, and after you see her, you do it by yourself. All I had to do is keep that vision in my wife going, that bush looks so nice there, honey. Thank you for doing that. This rock's coming out. All you got to do is get a vision of what? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Come on. See, you and I got to get our vision on the well done. I might look a little dirty and grimy and sweaty on the process, but that's all right. I got a vision of my Rachel. And I can do all things through Christ. And I want to be thankful to God. I want to be thankful for what He has given me and what He's doing in me and what He's doing through me. Because if I remain grateful and acknowledge God's hand in my life, He's going to let that flow continue. See, quarreling, striving, contention. You see, those things sometimes are good for us. They really put us in a place to find out what you're made of. I don't promise you a perfect church. This is far from perfect. Let me tell you some of the mistakes that we're going to make. I don't even know them yet, but they're going to be doozies. I don't know. But I know as long as there's humans in this room, we're going to have some trouble. It's all right with me, though. It's okay, because I'm going to still love you anyway. I may have to slap you, but I'll be all right. You may have to slap me back, but we'll be all right. We're going to make it. Amen? We're going to make it.
Amen.
Because there's a higher cause. There's a greater purpose. I don't know about you, but I've been through all the church stuff, haven't you? We just want the flow. We just want the flow of the Lord, the flow of the living water to come into our life. You know, that song this morning was perfect. That living water is what needs to come. That'll cure your pain. That'll wipe away your tears. It's the living water that'll bring your marriage back together again, give you purpose and give you direction. It's the living water that'll give you deliverance and set the captive free. It's the living water. And I said, oh God, if we don't do anything else as a church, I don't know if we'll ever have a building, God, it's up to you. It's your situation. You're the management company of this place. But I know one thing, God, I want living water. And I don't have to have a building to get living water. I don't have to have anything. All I have to do is find a field like Isaac did. All I got to do is get in the middle of a field and begin to pray, to begin to murmur out, begin to meditate, begin to ponder, begin to imagine, and begin to declare what you've said. And all of a sudden, suddenly, God, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. God, let it be bubbling up inside me today. How long has it been since you felt the bubbling flow? How long has it been since you felt that mighty rushing water up in your spirit, where it overwhelms you and gives you the goosebumps, gives you the shakes and the jerks? You think, ooh, God, that's good. Huh? How long has it been? You know, there's something about that internal flow that you just can't replace. And I just want to pray for that to be released this morning. Can I do that? All right, let's just pray right now. Father, I pray right now, God, for the release of that internal flow. Lord, I come against every kind of dirt, every carnal thing, every earthly thing. Father, every blockage, Lord Jesus, that has come between your spirit, your living water, and the people of God, the child of God that's in this room this morning. I come against that, Father, and I get my shovel, I get my pick along with the Holy Ghost. And we come to their life today, God, in one scoop at a time, God, one scoop at a time. And I know with every scoop, God, I'm that one closer. I'm that much closer. I'm that much closer. And God, until that dirt begins to get watered and muddy, and suddenly that water begins to ooze up, God, I know I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. But God, your word tells me that that flow is like crystal clear. It's crystal clear. God, it's not muddied at all. It's not dirtied in any way. Father, I just pray that that release of that flow this morning, Lord, in the life of every person in this room. Holy Spirit, would you come right now in this place? You're as gentle as a dove. And I just pray that you would come now and do some excavating. Do some digging in our lives. Come through all the trash. Come through all the negativity. Come through all the stuff that's been thrown into our wells. And Father, I pray this morning, let the flow come. Let it flow, Jesus. Let it flow for your glory. Oh God, all the disappointments, all the discouragements, all the things that people have said and done to us, all the circumstances around our life that we've allowed to dam up the flow. Open it up, Jesus. Open it up once again, Father. Let it flow, God, I pray. Let it flow, God. Just with me right now, ask the Holy Spirit to do that for you. Just ask the Holy Spirit to open up that flow in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to remove all of those things that have been blocking it. All of those things that have been trying to prevent the flow. Father, we just thank you, God. We know you're here right now. I sense your presence in a powerful way. I thank you, Lord. I sense your presence in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord. Could you sing that song again, Marlon? The one that you sang earlier about the river and the living waters. Father, we just thank you for every pained person, for every hurtful place, Lord God. Let the living waters come and touch it, flow over it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I know that you're faithful, Lord. We just wait on you right now, God, in this room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just worship the church. I believe that he's doing it right now. I believe it. I feel it. I sense it. God's doing it right now.
If you're searching.
Yeah, Lord, we're ready, God. Thank you, Lord.
If you're hurting.
Let it flow, Jesus.
Your life.
Sense in my heart that all the Lord is asking for some of us to do is to take one step toward Him. And when we take that one step toward Him, He'll take that step toward us. And some of us have been distant, some of us have been backstepping on God, and some of us need to step toward Him. You say, preacher, you know that's me, I just need to take a step. If you'll just pray that I could take that step, I believe that God will meet me. And if that's you this morning, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I just want you to come to this front of this room. This is an altar. This is a place where you can meet with God. I just want you to stand up and say, you know what, I'm taking a step toward God. It doesn't mean you're saved or not saved. It doesn't mean that you're right or not right with God. What it means is, you know what, I'm making a step towards God because I believe that He's calling me. I believe He's calling me. And as Marlon's going to sing that again, that living water, there's a powerful anointing in this room. I want you to respond to it. And altar ministers, you might want to come as well and just prepare yourself to minister to the people. But let's just let the Holy Spirit minister as we sing that again and just offer up our praises unto God, because God is in this room, church. Come on, sing it again, Marlon.
If you're hurting.
And if somebody pray with her as well, one of the ladies.
Come on, altar ministers. I'll take your pain.
Come on, if you need prayer, just come on up.
If your life is dry,
I just need to take a step toward God this morning.
I'll bring the rain. Thank you, Jesus. If you're searching, then search no more. Drifting. And every prayer that you prayed, I have treasured and kept. My love will never change.
Up to Jesus. Come on, let's worship Him. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We're calling on Jesus this morning. And could you sing that front part again? Because I really feel like the Holy Spirit's not done. He's not done yet. So just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, okay? If you need to respond, then I want you to respond. The Lord knows who you are. Listen to the first words of this song again. It's the God's plea to us. Amen? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
with compassion. Can you just reach over and maybe just touch somebody on the shoulder and pray for them this morning? Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that this vessel is a vessel of great worth and value to you, Lord. I thank you for Scott. I thank you, Lord, that the river is flowing in his life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the river, Lord, is flowing and it's bringing life to every area. Oh God, to his past, to his present, to his future, Lord. The waters, Lord, are bringing life, Lord God, to every part, to the marriage, Lord, to the family, to failures, to lack, to every area, God, the living water is coming. Hallelujah. Let it flow, Lord, in his life. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Let the river of living water flow, Lord God. Let the river of living water flow. Oh. Father, we need that flow this morning, Lord. We need that flow, God. Remove all the hindrances, Jesus. Open up the river, Lord. Open it up, God. Let it be like a mighty rushing river, Lord Jesus. Wash away all the debris, God. Wash away all the debris. Hallelujah. Let the water become clearer and clearer and clearer until it is crystal clean, Lord. I'm looking for the water. Oh, yeah. I'm looking for the water, Lord. I'm thirsty for it, Lord. I'm thirsty for the water. Come on now. Jesus said, if you thirst and hunger after him, you shall be filled. Come on now, lift up those hands and bless him. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Shall be clean. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. Father God, right now we want to open up the living water to George. Tom, I know, I think I saw you earlier. There you are. Come on. Can you come up here? Tom's brother is 38 years of age. One attack after another now is paralyzed from the waist down. How many believe that God can send the living water to touch him?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, Tossie, come on. Elder, come on. Let's begin to pray. Reach out a hand towards him. Let's call in the name of the Lord that living water will touch George's life today. Come on, he can walk again. He can be whole again. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the living water flow, Lord. Let the living water flow, Lord. Let the living water flow, Lord. To George, to George. We call on your name, God. And we say, God, let the living water touch George, Father. Let the living water touch his body, Father, and all that was wrong you can make right. We come against paralysis and we declare, Lord, that he is strong in the Lord. That he is able to walk and he is able to stand upright. What the devil has come to steal, God, we restore. The devil has been caught. He must pay back seven times all that he has robbed this young man of. Let the living water flow, Lord. Let the living water flow, Lord. We declare it, Lord God. And we believe it, Lord Jesus. We put our faith to him right now, God. And we believe, Lord, that is going to change. Everywhere the rivers went, life came. That's what Zechariah 14 said, Tom. When the waters came to the Dead Sea, it brought life again. And I thank you, Lord, that the waters are coming, God, to every dead part of his body. Lord, it'll bring life to it again, God, in Jesus' name. So we pray that it will flow. Thank you, Lord. And Father, there's other family members that are here today that know somebody that needs the living water to touch them as well. And so right now we come into agreement, God, with brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, friends, co-workers, neighbors, people that we know, children. And God, we say, let the living water go and bring to life again that which has died. For we know, Lord God, that you hold the life. You hold eternity in your hand, God. And we just release that living water toward those situations now, Father. And we bless you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good. Well, it's hard to say goodbye, you know. It really is, because I feel like this is reality, you know. This anointing you feel and sense in the presence of God, this is who we are. When we go out there, we're foreigners. This is where we feel most comfortable, isn't it? I mean, it's weird. It's like, this is where I need to stay. To go back out there, it's like, okay, let me take a deep breath. And then you have to go back out. But I just want you to know that you're appointed and you're anointed, and God has some great things for us. Yes?
This is important too. Our sister just lost her husband. Oh. She has three children. We should pray for them.
Oh, which one? Here? You just lost your husband. Yeah, I did. I'm so sorry. You just lost your husband. Come here. Can you stand up? No? Is that possible? And three children? How many know that the grieving touched the heart of God? How many know that God is near the brokenhearted? Amen? Come on, sisters, gather around my lovely sister here. Give her strength. Let the living water flow, Lord Jesus. Let the living water flow, Lord God, right now. Father, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but God, there's a hole in her heart, Father. There's a deep hole. And for those three children, Jesus, we pray God's strength now. Let the grace of God, let the grace of God give strength and minister to her now, Lord. Father God, we know, Lord Jesus, that you know what she's feeling and you know where she's going through right now. But God, we're asking for the uplifting grace of our God, hallelujah, to be with her now, Lord. Surround her with your love. Surround her like a cocoon with your grace, Father. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Can you sing that one last time? I just love that. I wish I knew all the words. Go ahead. Come on, let's bless him one last time. We're about to go. Can you handle it? All right, come on.
If you're hurting.
Oh, if you're hurting. Come on,
Jesus. I'll take your pain. I'll take your pain. If your life is dry and weary.
Yeah.
If your life is dry and weary. I'll bring the rain. I'll bring the rain.
Let's thank God for the rain.
If you're searching,
thank you, Lord, for searching.
If you're searching, search no more.
Search no more.
Search no more. If you're drifting, if you're drifting on an ocean, I'll be the shore, says the Lord. I'll be your shore. I've seen the scars that you hide. I've seen the tears. and all those prayers that you prayed, I have treasured and prayed.
Says something about when you see a brother or sister in need, you know, you don't say, well, be well, God bless you, I'll be praying for you. It'd be wonderful if we could get, you know, 5-10 women to come and get her phone number, contact information, and just give her a call, encourage her, pray with her on the phone. Wouldn't that be great just to have that kind of support during this time? So, you know, maybe you feel led of the Lord to do that. You know, get a paper and pen out and just get that number, and let's do that. Let's stand with her through this time. You live right, okay? Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. God loves everybody. And pray hard, not light, because these are tough times. But if we pray, God will answer and He'll heal our land. Amen? We'll see you next time. God bless you.